Hi there, it's Casey. I just wanted to drop a little note before this extra special bonus podcast. When we first started Ill-Informed, our goal was to keep our episodes in the 30 to 35 minute range. And obviously, we have not always been successful. In fact, we've rarely been successful. And my mother has complained about it a lot. But there's just so much good information and wackiness to talk about. And believe it or not, there's a lot more that doesn't make the cut. So I've been thinking about what to do with all that additional content and information. Now, in this case, we decided to release a little bonus, which I hope you enjoy, but we're thinking about a kind of phase two for Ill-Informed, building out a space on our website to include the original podcast, but also the stories that didn't make the cut, historical footnotes and perspectives, maybe some additional interviews and related articles for folks who want to learn more, a more kind of all-encompassing educational experience. Now, I'm pretty jazzed about this idea. If this is something you're interested in or have ideas for or feedback, if there's something you'd really like to see us include, or if you're interested in donating and sponsoring this endeavor, email me at info@statematters.org and put Ill-Informed in the subject line. Now, this is an extra from our budget episode. Glennis and Daniel talk about how dark money might play into the graduated, progressive, fair income tax fight. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
So I was reading this article in the Sun Times about these dark money groups, and not sure how. Yeah, this is very much related. So they're fighting over this fair income tax. I was going to say progressive income tax. I am interested. What is the role that these outside groups play? First of all, dark money. I don't even know what I think of when I think about that, but I don't think of anything good. I think of something like on the black market, under the table. This doesn't seem to quite be that. So what is the role that they're playing on this issue, and why are they so relevant?
Okay. So let me first just address what is dark money.
Yeah.
When you're running for political office, yes, there is an incredible amount of super gross fundraising that typically happens, mm-hmm. and all kinds of people give you money, and like we can have bad feelings about that. I do. But the one thing that happens is that you disclose it all, mm-hmm. right? When someone gave a contribution to BIS for Illinois when I was running for governor, that contribution got posted online less than 3 months later.
Just had to plug yourself.
I'm just saying words that, that happen to create certain feelings. Anyway, don't worry about that. So those donations are disclosed, mm-hmm. which is, you know, doesn't exactly solve the problem of influence and money, but it's really important because at least it creates some accountability. But, you know, if you look at a non-for-profit organization, they don't disclose their donors. The Citizens United Supreme Court case and some not.
Tell us about that case for folks who don't know.
So this is a Supreme Court case that was decided now, I guess, probably around 8 years ago, mm-hmm. Had a significant impact in opening the floodgates to more dark, as I'm about to describe what that means, mm-hmm. corporate money being involved in politics in different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's technical in what exactly the specific decision was, but it really opened the door for these nonprofit organizations, 501c4 organizations they're called, that don't disclose their donors to be much more heavily involved in politics. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened is very, very wealthy individuals or corporations will give undisclosed contributions to one of these 501c4 nonprofit organizations, and then that organization does political work.
Representing their interests.
And the fact that that organization discloses its own name mm-hmm. doesn't really tell you anything about where the money is coming from.
Right, right.
And so dark money is a phrase to describe this new money that's come into politics that is not disclosed, and so we don't know where it comes from. Mm-hmm. And again, that money isn't being given directly to a political candidate, but it's involved in the political process in a variety of ways. For example, there's a 501c4 organization on each side of this fair tax issue. There's
gotcha.
One fighting for the fair tax, and there's one fighting against the fair tax, mm-hmm. and they're already running television commercials. And this whole thing is going to ultimately probably pass or fail on a referendum in November of 2020, right? November, that's a year and a half mm-hmm. from now. They're already running commercials. So just think about how much money they anticipate flowing in, undisclosed. We won't know where it's coming from to fight for and against this policy change.
the people that are for it, the dark money groups that are for the policy change, what is it that they get out of this, or what might they get out of it? Because I think it seems very commonsensical to think, okay, someone on the opposing side, if they have a lot of money or they're a large corporation, then it's not a reflection of their own interests. They essentially would have to pay more taxes. They would lose money. But on the other side, for huge corporations who are for it, what is the gain or value add for them?
Right. So, right, on the anti side, you can sort of, and I think the organization is called Ideas Illinois, something mm-hmm. like that. That's the anti-fair tax organization.
Right.
You can tell by kind of who their staff are that this is like another kind of usual suspects operation of, you know, traditional very wealthy corporate interests, the Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. the Illinois Manufacturers Association, you know, some of the very, very wealthy people who funded Bruce Rauner's gubernatorial campaigns. They're funding this. They appear to be affiliated with this thing. And mm-hmm. and like you said, you can tell why. They have a personal financial interest in it.
That makes sense.
The pro organization is called Think Big Illinois, and it clearly is I guess aligned with Governor Pritzker is probably the best word to use. And we don't know where the money's coming from. I think everyone assumes that an awful lot of the money is coming from Governor Pritzker personally. And, you know, whether they're also going to raise money from other progressive wealthy people who think this is the right thing, I can't speak to, or, you know, whether they're going to try to raise money in small contributions the way some progressive causes do. I don't know whether they're going to do that, but I do think that it's fair to say, though this is not known by me or ever going to be public information, it's fair to say that this wouldn't be doable if it weren't for the fact that we have a governor who is both personally insanely wealthy and also very, very, very committed to making this happen, which can lead you to, you know, I, as someone who believes strongly in this, am very relieved about the fact that it seems like there's some help coming to enable us to pass this. But you certainly can have some pretty legitimate concerns of, is the right set of conditions to enact a reform having a wealthy governor who is willing to personally fund a campaign to make it happen?
Yeah.
You'd like to see other ways for reforms to happen.
Yeah. How common are these dark money groups and their role in Springfield?
I would say not that common. Not unheard of, but not that common. Certainly when we were trying to pass marriage equality, there was a lot of money that came in and a real campaign with a media effort and staff and so forth. And that clearly cost a pretty serious amount of money. And there, this, it'll happen kind of on a smaller basis where there's a big legislative fight coming, and then, you know, everyone will know that one or two legislators are kind of the swing votes, and some organization will, you know, send a bunch of mail into their district and run TV ads in their district. And, you know, that's important and sort of alarming for those of us who are concerned about money and influence, but it'll be like a three-week thing that costs a sort of a reasonable amount of money. I think what we're anticipating seeing here, where millions and millions and millions of dollars are spent on both sides, that's relatively unprecedented. And part of that is because this is a referendum, right? When there's a group trying to affect a legislative outcome, they might be like, well, that vote's happening in 3 weeks. We've got a three-week campaign to run to persuade one person in one district to vote a certain way.
Yeah.
Here, when it's a referendum and you're going to have millions of people voting in the presidential election of November 2020, and you got to persuade all of those millions of people to vote your way, it's just going to be a giant, giant public campaign.
Yeah.